Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome. Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's our second hour of radio broadcast. Ropp and Suk.
Sada.
Right back at you.
Joey Harrington in studio next hour for story time with Joey.
Yeah.
Boy, Mike just dropped a little bomb on us here.
Yeah, I don't really know what to do with it. I'm still trying to process it.
I'll relay it to the people. So Oregon baseball is over on 910 right now. And there's a nice young man, a sophomore at Nevada from Simi Valley High School, who is pitching for Nevada today against the Ducks. And his name is Owen Schartz.
Yeah, good old Owen Schartz. Boy, you want to talk about like growing up under like a bad sign? At least he's good at sports. That probably gave him some sort of relief from it, but Owen Schartz.
Son of Stu and Jen Schartz.
Stu Schartz. Think about this. When
Stuart Schartz.
When Stu was asking Jen to be his wife, do you think at some point it crossed her mind that she was about to go from being Jen whatever, Jen Ropp to Jen Schartz?
What if she hyphenated?
Well, Ropp Schartz. Jen Ropp Schartz.
Jen Ropp Schartz.
You know what? Ropp Schartz actually sounds better than Schartz.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, with a hyphenated in there. And do you think you'd go with like a Charte or something? Like maybe change it up?
Charte.
Maybe put some.
What do you have that little line?
Yeah, those little umlauts or whatever. Like they have like at Motley Crue. Something to kind of spice it up a little bit. You can't just go around like, I don't think I could handle being Jason Schartz.
Now, do
it
you
just
think,
wouldn't work.
No.
Now, do you think that
God
Stewart's family, whenever they first came over to America, they were going through Ellis Island and somebody said, that's a strange last name. You know, it'd be funny. Make their last name Schartz.
Or was it even a thing then?
Yeah.
Back then they're like, oh, what a classic name.
Yes. Owen Schartz of the Winthorpe Schartzes.
It was like Schartzfelder. And they're like, yeah, that's too long. We'll just make it Schartz.
Like they were... What, they were fleeing Jewish prosecution? Like persecution back in the day?
Well, it's possible. A lot of people went through Ellis Island, Suk.
Schartzfelder. So regal. You're so lucky.
Hey, we can't be Schartzfelder anymore. We don't want anyone to know we're Jewish. Ah, we'll just make it Schartz. No one will know the difference.
What if her last name was Wet?
Come on.
Come on.
That's not even a real last name.
Yeah, W-H-E-T, right? Like, yeah.
Well, there's John.
Jen Wet Schartz.
Well, what if she was the doctor? What if she was the daughter of John Wetland?
Yes.
And she could be Wetland Schartz.
Wetland Schartz. Yeah, man.
Oh, God.
That's good times.
I wish Stu's name was Richard.
Hey,
yes.
Mike, will you?
Yes.
I'm going to need something from you right now. Will you roll on the broadcast on 910 and get some Schartz audio?
Yeah.
Because that's going to be funny. Like, Schartz with the fastball and he strikes him out. You know what I mean?
Do you think if you're an announcer, you have to like you have to try to be extra diligent and not making a deal out of it. Like, it's going to come across, like, if you're not careful, that you're snickering a little bit. Sharts on the mound. Like, what? What did I just hear? Like, you're flipping through the radio dial and you hear that Sharts is on the mound. It's a little disconcerting.
All right. Good times. All right. Thanks for that, Mike.
I am rolling on it, and the game is going to start in about, well, it's starting now, so
I guarantee there are going to be some funny clips.
Yeah, I think Nevada pitches second, so we'll wait a bit.
Boy, I would have given anything had I been in the locker room at BYU and like the freshman came walking in and I found out that Ben Sharts was our new left tackle. Oh, good times.
So Bill Walton was on the Oregon broadcast last night. By the way, they lost
to
Arizona State.
Boy, they on the road, like at home, Oregon is rock solid. Away from Matthew Knight, it's anyone's guess, man.
You know, when I was in Vegas last month, I saw them at 10-1 to win it all.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, Dana Altman, he always, you know, gets his team cranked up in the postseason. He's underrated in the postseason. Dana Altman's just good.
Yeah.
The good tournament teams. I'm like, you know what? I didn't lay anything on it, but I thought about it. Boy, watching that game last night, I'm like, I don't know, man.
Got a little.
I don't know.
But again,
I don't know if they have it.
It's just when they're at home, they look like a different team, and they've proven that they can fall behind and dig their way out of massive holes against really good teams. But then you lose to Arizona State.
But yeah, again,
on the road.
So anyway, Bill Walton was on the broadcast, and Bill Walton, you either love him or you can't stand him when he's doing the games. I like him, but too much of him is a little of him goes a long way. Let's put it that way.
Sure.
So they had Frank Caliendo was there.
Yeah. And Frank does a Bill Walton impression.
He's, of course, a comedian.
Yeah.
And here are a few clips of Bill Walton and Bill Walton.
You interrupting him is the best part of this so far. So we have the outstanding comedian Frank Caliendo.
He's not a comedian. He's a human being. Please.
That's his job. That's his job.
No, man. He is a master of the universe. He is a shining
What would
star.
You call yourself, Frank?
I would go. I didn't even know who I was going to be right there.
I wasn't sure. I was caught in between characters. And once again, we're paying zero attention to the game.
Welcome
There's
to
a
our
game.
Show.
There's a game.
There's a game. That's good. All right, here's more.
Spend some time with the common folk, Dave, instead of your elite-level entrepreneurial friends.
Here's Houston, and it drops Oregon back within two. Before the break, Frank, Bill wanted to wish Charles Barkley a happy birthday. I don't know if you want to wish him a happy birthday as Charles Barkley.
That's a really, really happy birthday for you. Probably about 25 years old today, could still play at the highest level. Shaq, what do you think?
Oh, we don't get to hear what Shaq thought.
No, because he does Shaq.
It wasn't
too.
In the clip, yeah.
No.
Walton's world is a little unique because Bill Walton is here along with Bill Walton.
How great is this? Enjoying ourselves, enjoying the energy happening here inside the arena, outside the beautiful, the landscape that is Arizona. But inside, how loud can it be? The look on your face, Bill, is that of utter frustration.
Finally, some inspiration. The negativity that I have to fight every single moment. And now, someone here who can shine the light. Someone who can appreciate the beauty of a saguaro. Somebody who knows about the grandeur of the Sonoran Desert. Somebody who knows that rivers can flow uphill.
You never know when to talk when he's going, do you? You never know when there's going to be a break. He continues to go the entire time in the three. What was that three? I wasn't even looking. I wasn't
Neither
paying
was I.
attention to
I
the
wasn't
game.
Either
it was a two by Alonzo Verge.
The fact this of the matter is, this is more than we pay attention normally.
Good stuff. Kind of hard to tell when Walton's talking. You're like, wait, is that Walton or is that...
Caliendo does a good Bill Walton.
Frank Caliendo.
Yeah. We're not paying any attention to the game, which is 100% true.
Some text, Sharts is filthy tonight. He's really bringing the gas. I hope that whoever... Who does play-by-play for Oregon baseball?
I have no idea.
I have no clue.
Whoever does it, I hope they have fun with the Sharts references.
I would certainly think so.
And
but
drop
again,
a few of those.
I'm going to go ahead and assume that they're going to take it very seriously.
That's right. What I'm saying. Like, right. I think you have to really button it up. Otherwise,
Sharts is spewing fire. Sharts with a nasty backdoor.
Oh, It's just, it's too good. And it's just, it's a layup. It's an absolute layup.
All right. We done here?
I think we're done.
That's all I had on that. I just wanted to play Frank Caliendo clips.
Well, as well you should.
For you guys. Not sure why he played that.
I believe Dave Pasch would rather have Frank Caliendo beside him
by the
doing
way,
Bill Walton than actually have Bill Walton by his
side. Inside info?
Yeah.
I play golf with a guy who helps produce some of these broadcasts.
Sure. More name dropping coming?
No, because you won't know who he is, but he's a great dude, and he has done broadcasts with Walton and Pasch. Mm-hmm. And he said that they're really close.
Really?
Yeah, Bill's bit of like he doesn't know his name and this and that is all just a bit, and he really likes Dave Pasch, and Dave Pasch really likes him. Dave does a good job with Bill.
Sure.
Because not a lot of play-by-play guys could really work with Bill.
Well, you can't really wrangle him. You just kind of have to.
He steers into the skid.
Yeah, you have to exist, you know, beside him.
But he said that they have a really good relationship. So if you think that Pasch hates working with Walton and Walton hates Pasch and doesn't know his name, no that's good. Not true. They're buddies.
Huh. I wouldn't necessarily think they hated working with each other. I just, you can, and maybe that's just part of the bit, is you can certainly, at least I think I can, pick up where Pasch gets a little frustrated at times.
I think he
Schertz is spraying junk all over the plate.
I think he used to be more frustrated. I think he's just part of the bit now.
Yeah, he gets it.
Yeah,
he's the smart. Foil. He knows what his role is.
Then that is a great job, because there are times you can tell that he's trying to bring Bill back from the brink, and it's just you can hear the frustration in his voice.
We're not watching the game. There's a game. Bill, I like Bill, but I can understand those that don't.
Yes. Have you ever been to a volcano?
Well, he's an acquired.
I love volcanoes.
He's an acquired taste, is he not?
I love bridges.
Well, actually, you know what? He's probably not an acquired taste. Either you just enjoy him for what he is, or you'll never get it.
Yeah, that's probably right.
It's probably not an acquired taste. It's just you like it or you don't.
Colorado can't find a coach. Next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Colorado's still looking for a football coach. God, man, we're almost to spring football.
Yeah, no one apparently wants that job because we've had a couple more that have pulled their names out of it, too.
To be fair, Mel Tucker left like a week ago, or not even.
Well, no, it was more than that. It was longer than that.
Didn't that just happen?
Was that last week?
Didn't that just happen?
Well, I mean, it happened late, but they should probably have a coach by now.
One would think, or at least have people that stop taking their name out of the pool.
So Bieniemy said,
yeah. Yeah, he passed. And by the way, he played there, won a national title there, has been an assistant there twice, is viewed as one of the up-and-coming coordinators in the NFL.
He may see himself as an NFL head coach,
though. It's possible.
Because he's next in line.
Yeah, but there
it
was,
seems.
Yeah, there was that talk that he was really frustrated that he wasn't hired this offseason. There was a talk that maybe there'd be an exodus from black NFL assistant coaches back to the college ranks.
And then Steve Sarkisian pulled his name out yesterday. And are you saying there are others that pulled their name out?
Well, supposedly they were trying to get Graham Harrell as well, and that Graham Harrell isn't interested. Now, he hasn't officially said that he isn't interested in that, but the Alex Grinch and Graham Harrell were the two that I saw today, and then I saw multiple people that said that Harrell wasn't interested in it. So,
I think he also sees himself as maybe the next USC coach.
Yeah, either that or, again, a better job than Colorado. I wonder what...
Something's going on.
I wonder what people think of Colorado.
They probably don't pay that well.
Well, I mean, they don't pay what Michigan State pays. I know that.
Well, I mean, 2.7 is what Mel Tucker was making, right?
That's not a bad chunk of change.
It's not, but it's not... I mean... Most schools are paying more than that. Most Power Five schools.
And Colorado supposedly built some new facilities. It's a, I don't know. I always think Colorado should be a better job than it is. I guess in my mind, I saw today that the media members voted Boulder as the best city in Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the kids don't view it that
Boulder
way.
Boulder really is great.
It's a great place, but again, maybe it doesn't.
Yeah.
Maybe there's not a sexiness there or a cash. I don't know what it is, but Colorado certainly hasn't had tremendous success over the last handful of years. They've had the one good year under Mike McIntyre where they won the Pac-12 South. And other than that, it's been a bit of a rebuild over the last decade. But don't know. I just, with people supposedly not really interested in this and kind of they're not going to end up with their top guy. It sounds like they're going to end up with their third, fourth, or fifth guy. I wonder if it says something about what people think of the Pac-12 or what people think of that job.
Well, I mean, I think there are a lot of schools that used to win that we maybe need to, recalibrate what we think of them as, you know, how good their program is.
Yeah.
I mean, Nebraska is the shining example of that, right?
Yes.
Like, Nebraska used to be on top of college football, but they're just not ever going to, they're not going to be that anymore. It's not, Notre Dame's maybe even a little bit like this. You know, these are, it's just, you got to recalibrate how you view their status in the college football hierarchy. And Colorado may be one where, because they used to win, when is it? Early 2000s, they were really good and share of a national championship, right?
I think that was in the 90s. But
in the whenever it was.
Cordell Stewart, they've had success.
They've had great
program.
Programs. Yes. But it's just not going to be that way. It's not that way anymore. It's not going to be that way anymore. And we need to maybe we're propping them up a little too far based on past success.
It's possible.
Kind of like Nebraska.
Yeah, I just think...
No, I'm not saying Nebraska and Colorado are on equal footing. They're not. Nebraska's paying, I think, Scott Frost maybe $5 million or something.
Yeah, and Nebraska obviously has the Big Ten money behind it. But I wonder if... And I'm just spitballing here, but do you think that some of the economical disparity with the Pac-12 and the rest of the conferences and the recruiting on the West Coast being harder than it is other places, I wonder if people look at Colorado and say, to your point, it's a good job, not a great one. There has been, I'm going to look back, in the last 20 years, they've had two 10-win seasons.
20 years, two 10-win, okay.
Yeah. Hmm. And there's only, if you want to do nine, there has only been three. So there you've won nine or more games three times in 20 years. I mean, you got to go back to 1996, Rick Neuheisel, where they strung together a run. Neuheisel went 10-2, 10-2, 11-1. Because I remember when I was coming out, when I was getting recruited, Colorado was a big deal.
Yeah.
Like that, when I got, like, when Colorado would send you a letter, I was like, oh man, Colorado. And then you go back to the national title days, and that's the Bill McCartney. Then you're talking about the early 90s. So for the 90s, Colorado was fine, but since they have been an afterthought. And so I wonder, to your point, if people are looking at that job and saying they're not going to pay me, you know, a ton of money. My facilities are good. They're not anything special.
I don't know what their facilities
look
like.
They upgraded them.
I mean, their stadium's awesome.
Their stadium's awesome, and they just upgraded, but it's not like their facilities, it's everyone in the Pac-12 at this point has nice facilities, right? I think everyone has upgraded over the last handful of years, but you don't have anything that's eye-popping. You're on par with the Arizonas and the Arizona States, but you're not Oregon, you're not SC. You don't have a natural talent base there in Colorado. And so I wonder if you just look at that and say over the rest of the country, the financial disparity, I wonder if that is really an attractive job for people that think I can wait around and get a job somewhere else.
Yeah, I was looking back. Like, sometimes you look at these programs and you go, well, maybe Purdue, is Purdue like this? Like, where you look at Purdue football and you go, well, they probably shouldn't be that good at football. But then they get a Joe Tiller. They have a really good coach for a long time, and then that makes them good. Maybe that's Colorado with McCartney, and then Neuheisel wasn't there long, but Neuheisel did a great job. Maybe that little run was the outlier.
Skewed everything.
Yeah, because
they really haven't been good other than that. You're right.
Right. Before that, there wasn't much to rave about. I mean, name some before McCartney. Name something about Colorado football. Name anything.
No, you can't. I'm looking through, and it just
nothing.
It's kind of a non-existent
and then,
thing.
After Neuheisel, Gary Barnett had some success, but then they made a terrible hire in Dan Hawkins.
Well, and Barnett got run. Remember, they had the scandal and the rape accusations.
Now, he was Big 12 Coach of the Year twice, Barnett was. But, yeah, he got ran out of there. And then Dan Hawkins was a terrible hire. And then John Embry was just the worst of the – I mean, he went 4-21, man.
Yep.
And then McIntyre got it kind of back on track, but he left. And now Tucker didn't stay. Now they can't find it. You know, so maybe it's just never been that great. It's just that they had two good coaching hires in a row.
Yeah, and that, you know, when you take over for a guy like Bill McCartney, the program's on good footing, right? And Neuheisel is a good coach. Neuheisel was successful other than his stint at UCLA. He was successful at UW, he was successful at Colorado. So you wonder, you know, if you bring in a competent coach after Bill McCartney, you should hit the ground running and be fine.
Yes.
But then as the further you get away from the elite coach and you know, then maybe again you fall back into, well, this is just who we are.
Let me bring Nebraska back in.
Yeah.
To this.
Frank Solich.
I mean, you the Frank further away you get from Tom Osborne, the worse it got.
Yeah. Because Solich played for a national title, right? Solich won a lot of games.
He was good.
But you're right. The further they got away, the worse it got. And Miami even had a little bit of this with the, you know, they had a great run of bringing guys in and out, but then they won that national title with Larry Coker, but that was on the back of someone else's guys. And then the further they got away from that, the Larry Coker thing we figured out was, it wasn't Larry Coker that was winning the national title. And since then it has been an uphill battle.
The other thing too, somebody brought up, Boulder is great, but not so much if you're, I mean, you know, do young African American recruits
and that's why
love Boulder?
Yeah, if you're a 40-year-old guy like us, or if you're a hippie and you love the outdoors and nature and all this and that,
is it really great to recruit there?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Well, they need a coach.
Well, Notre Dame, you know, somebody says Notre Dame's been to a playoff and a title game, and they're just in that group behind Bama, LSU, Ohio State, Clemson. Yeah.
Well, and Notre Dame, the history behind it and the money behind it,
it's different.
It's a but much I do different think gig than
what
than
I was
Boulder.
Saying with Notre Dame. Well, of course, but what I was saying with Notre Dame is that some of the shine is off of it. It's not what it didn't mean what it used to.
Yeah.
To the kids. South Bend sucks.
Yeah.
And yes, Notre Dame is at a different level than both Nebraska and Colorado. And he's right. You know, they've been to a playoff and a title game, and recently they've been had an undefeated season, but they aren't what they used to be.
No. In fact,
and a lot of these programs, it's just the landscape changes a little bit. I don't think Texas is what it used to be. Should we expect, because more schools look no further than Oregon, recruit nationally now more than ever, should we really expect Texas to be as great as they used to be?
There is no, in my opinion, because I get where you're going, there is no excuse for Texas to not be a top 15 team every year.
Okay, but they used to be top five.
Yes.
So, again, it's changed. I'm not saying they should suck. I'm just saying that it's different. The landscape changes. More people are coming into Texas, taking their players. More of the programs in Texas are challenging, they are better.
Yeah.
And it's just harder to beat Texas, the Texas of old.
Yeah.
It's just harder.
Yeah.
And it's harder at Notre Dame because the mystique isn't what it used to be to kids.
And it may come down to more and more in places like that of just finding the right guy, right? Finding the guy that
USC's Pete Carroll.
Exactly. Or, you know, Frank Beamer, the one that I was thinking about is like Virginia Tech.
Beamer.
Right? So is Frank Beamer. Virginia Tech is not a bad school. And they won, Fuente had, you know, he's had some decent years there. I think he won 10 games, 9 games a couple times. But under Frank Beamer, for a while there, man, for a decade, dude, they were a 10-11 win team every year going to BCS Bowls. They owned the ACC. And after Frank Beamer, I know Fuentes is good, but I just don't know if you're ever going to recreate at Virginia Tech what they had unless you find the next Frank Beamer. And Justin Fuente can be good. That doesn't mean that he's Frank Beamer. Just like Tom Herman may be good, but is he really the guy to bring Texas back to where you're winning national championships?
You wonder this too. I mean, some of these schools, like in the South, that guy mentioned Bama, LSU, Ohio State's different. I think there are fewer and fewer schools that are in that different category.
Yeah.
Because of because of all the resources that are going into programs all over the country now. Yeah.
There's more of an even.
It's a little even underneath the big boy. Now, like Florida has just Florida, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Because of where they're located, Alabama, LSU, they're just going to be at a different level because of all the kids. They're just in fertile recruiting ground, right?
Yep.
But for everybody else, maybe we need to take down or just kind of reconsider our thoughts about, you know, blue blood, or it should be easier for this school or that school. Because the longer we get away, the longer USC continues to just meddle, you realize, well, yeah, they're in Southern California, but so what? It clearly doesn't matter. They've had one good coach in, what?
20 years?
I mean, So why do we keep saying that USC should be so great? Yeah. Are we ignoring that, like a lot of schools, not all, like Ohio State again or whatever, a lot of schools, maybe we just need to recalibrate how we view how good they can be based on the way college football has changed and how many schools are national recruiters and how many schools are bumping up their budgets and how many schools are not afraid to just go pick. I mean, Oregon, the rise of Oregon alone and what they're doing in California should make us recalibrate what we think about what USC can do.
Yeah.
And UCLA.
Valid point.
So we just never think about that. We just constantly put these schools all in like the same box and expect the same thing. And at some point we need to rethink that because Colorado is, I mean, it's not a great job.
No,
it's just not.
No, it's an okay job. It's a good job, but it's not great. But I do think there are bad jobs.
Good place to live for a coach.
Sure. I think there's bad jobs where it's tough for anyone to win. And I do think that the elite schools that you were talking about, still with the right guy. Again, look, you brought up Alabama. Alabama has every advantage you could want, right? And has been historically good. But let's not forget that after Gene Stallings, we had Mike DeBose. We had Franchione. We had Mike Shula.
Mm-hmm.
And there were lean years. Then you hired Nick Saban. And
so maybe it's just the right coach no matter where you are.
But my point is that Nick Saban at Michigan State is not Nick Saban at Alabama.
Right.
There are still going to be 10 to 15 to 20 schools that have the bones to it, that have the makings of a program that if you do get the right guy, that's possible. You can't build at Alabama.
Right.
What Nick Saban built, you can't do that at Colorado.
Right.
You can't do it at Washington State. You can't do it at Purdue.
What if Nick Saban were at Washington State?
He'd be good, but he wouldn't be this. And he wouldn't be there. He'd be gone after three years.
Yeah, but what if he just got him? He's like, you know what? I want to go to Pullman. I've always wanted to be there.
They'd be good.
I'm going to coach there for the rest of my life.
They'd be good. They wouldn't be elite.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, all right. I think we're done here. Anyway, Colorado...
I'm making a little montage, by the way, of the first inning of Shart's references.
Are they having fun with it?
Not intentionally. There's one or two in there that you're like, oh, that's kind of funny just because it's a natural statement. But no, he's not having fun with it.
Hmm. Who's the play-by-play guy?
It's disappointing.
I don't recognize his voice. I don't think it's Joey Mack. So.
Shart's up there tossing salad.
Shart's painting the corners. Oh, man, good times. Tim Calhoun, Air Force. And Brett Bielema apparently still in the running.
Yeah.
So for Colorado. Okay, Bill, let's get on to the news. We have a Jeremy Christian verdict next. Here's Mike.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
That sounds like new music.
I put it in a couple weeks ago. I think it's the first time it's playing, though.
Laying down a funky groove.
Where do you find this stuff? What is this?
Well, this is the person is named Anup Sastry. He was a drummer in the band Born of Osiris, and then he makes his own solo stuff.
Hey, I've heard of that band.
The band Born of Osiris.
I've actually heard of that one.
That's like your new band, Flogging Engine Number 7.
Oh, yeah.
From yesterday's show.
Yeah, as opposed to Flogging Engine Number 6. That's right out. It's all about Flogging Number 7.
All right, Bill, it is February.
Wait, do you want the mashup before you go into?
No.
Okay, fine.
No, we've got...
Fine.
We've got the news.
Yeah, we've got the news, and then we'll get to...
5:15.
Owen Schartz.
We're going to... Evan.
Evan.
No, it's Owen.
I thought it was Evan.
No, you idiot. It's Owen.
Rob.
Stu Schartz.
For heaven's
Stu
sakes.
And Jen Schartz.
This is... How is it that we know now the parental names of the Nevada starting pitcher? And by the way, I need to look this up, but someone said I need to double check this, that Nevada's catcher's last name is Dickman.
Oh, come on.
It's possible that we have a Schartz.
The battery of Schartz to Dickman.
No, today the catcher is Valenzuela.
Oh.
Get him out of there.
So disappointing.
Yeah, so we'll do the... So if you don't know what we're talking about, Owen Schartz is the pitcher for Nevada against Oregon in baseball today. And that game's over on 9:10 and Mike's running on it. And we're going to see what that sounds like.
Yeah, we just want to.
Because we're juvenile.
Well, that's what we do.
It's February 21, 2020. It's time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Today is National Caregivers Day. So give a thumbs up to your caregivers.
I don't have a caregiver, but if I did, I would give them a thumbs up.
It is also National Sticky Bun Day.
Oh, I haven't had a sticky bun in years, but that's a quality item. I think that's a Little Debbie's. I think Little Debbie's makes the sticky buns.
Sharts, wines, and fires.
I'm trying to find their baseball roster to see if there's a Dickman on it, but
Sharts has to find a way to limit the runs. That's a good one.
We need Hank Azaria.
Props to the guy who texted that in.
Did you ever watch
Hank Azaria? Yes. Yeah. I love that show.
Brockman.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Yes. Brockman needs to be doing the Nevada Oregon game.
Sharts. Okay, the verdict has been reached. Jeremy Christian, the Max Train stabber, is going to prison for the rest of his life, most likely. The sentencing phase is next, but unanimous jury finds him guilty on all counts in the Max stabbing attack.
Do you think he even cares? Do you think he has any semblance of what the hell is going on?
Yeah, I do. But at the same time, I think he knew it.
Yeah.
He knew it.
Well, he certainly didn't do himself any favors, so.
Well, the guy's, he's got issues.
I would say so.
I think the biggest thing here is it's like, that's a guy that needs to be.
Yes, removed from society.
Yes, just whether that's behind bars or in a mental institution or.
Go away forever.
He can't. He's just. Yeah.
Look, I hate to say it, but it's one of those. The world is better off without him in it. It just is.
So the trial lasted about 3 weeks. The jury deliberated for about a day and a half. So he will likely spend the rest of his life in prison because he is guilty of murder. There were 12 different counts. I don't need to read them, do I?
No. He was guilty on all of them, though.
Yeah. Hamilton is returning to Portland.
Ooh. I saw this. I saw they released the new season. And if you haven't seen Hamilton, shame on you. That thing is great.
So I get a little confused by these. Is this like the traveling Hamilton?
Traveling Hamilton. So they.
This
do...
is not the Ridge.
No, oh no.
Hamilton.
But supposedly they're going to do a movie and then they're going to do a reunite like tour. Well, it's not a tour. They'll just do it in New York. Like if you ever wanted to see the original cast, you had to be in New York. So what they do is New York has the actual Broadway cast. And then bigger cities like Chicago, L.A., they will have permanent casts, not the original, but they have permanent shows running in those cities. And then there's always a traveling cast, and that's what we get here in Portland.
And they're good.
Yes, but it's not.
But
Lin-Manuel is not coming to Portland. And by the way, when they do reunite, you won't be able to see it because those tickets will be a gajillion dollars.
Yeah. So it's the same show?
Yeah, exact same show.
Just coming back for another run, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
And it will again make a gajillion dollars. And look, it's just, I was real skeptical. My kids really got into it, and I was like, yeah.
The kids loved it.
My two daughters were obsessed with it, and then through force of will, they just played it around me enough where I was like, oh, this is actually really good. And then I went and saw it in person, and it blew me away. It is, I don't know if it's my favorite of all time, but it certainly is on the medal stand of best musicals I've ever seen.
So when is it coming? Next year,
yeah.
2021. Yeah. Broadway in Portland announced it will be part of their show. Or part of their lineup, March 16th through April 11th. Disney is bringing a film of the musical with the original Broadway cast to theaters October 15th, 2021 as well. Do you know that?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
I was listening.
The crew is reuniting and they're making a movie. And then after the movie, I guess they're going to do a reunion run. Called the Hamilton 2, The Quest for More Money. And they'll make
it. Well, it's that popular.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And by the way, I have confirmed, and this is BS, that Nevada isn't playing him. One of their catchers, and I believe he is not playing today simply to avoid the battery of Dickman and Sharts, because right here on their roster, 6'3", 220-pound sophomore, Blake Dickman. There is a chance that sometime this year that battery of Nevada will be Dickman and Sharts.
What a missed opportunity, though.
What a law firm.
The law firm of Dickman and Sharts.
You know what? I would hire the law firm of Dickman and Sharts. Absolutely. I feel like they
personal could injury lawyers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You injured on the job, you call the law firm of Dickman and Shards. And the best part is in the on their roster,
their specialty is plumbers.
They're right next to each other. Like if you bring up the Nevada roster, it's right above Owen Schartz's Blake Dickman.
Man,
I gotta believe those two hang out and are best friends.
If they don't, they should.
They should. And in every photo, they should be standing next to each other with their names on the back.
All right, I have Amazon news, and recycling is hard. Let's just admit that. It's just hard. There's a lot going on there.
Sure.
Like, what goes in the thing?
I feel like I recycle wrong, like, 90% of the time.
But not anymore. We'll get to those items next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
The plot thickens. I just found Stu Schartz, Papa Schartz, on LinkedIn.
Yeah. What's Stu Schartz do?
He is a regional manager and contract specialist. Get this.
Yeah.
At ROP Corporation.
Holy hell.
What?
Yes. Well,
Schartz works for ROP?
Is he an assistant to the regional manager?
No, he's regional manager / contract specialist at ROP Corporation. But they spell it different. ROPPE.
Oh.
So I don't know if it's pronounced ROP.
Oh, I think
it should be.
ROPE.
What we have concluded here is that ROP knows Schartz. That's what we've concluded here today.
And ROP hasn't denied knowing Schartz.
No, he has not.
Look, I'm not going to deny that.
The Schartz works for ROP. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Very interesting. Do you do much with LinkedIn?
No, I get invited on LinkedIn and I never, like, I think I have an account because.
You do, if you can.
But I don't remember ever signing up for LinkedIn, nor do I do anything with it.
Somebody in marketing probably did it for you.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like randomly, like, it's like. Yeah,
that's how they got us on Twitter.
Yeah, Bill Schartz would like to. And I never accept them because I don't.
You're
I don't,
like, I don't what does this mean?
I don't have a login.
I accept all of them.
Do you?
I used to accept all of them, and then I went, I don't know any of you people.
Yeah. If you request to be, I don't know, is it friends or linked with me on LinkedIn, I'm hitting accept. Unless I think your profile is fake. Yeah. Some of them are fake. So, or you start hitting me up for stuff.
So you have it. You log into yours?
Yeah, I have it. I don't know what to do with it. But I have it, and I have a lot of connections. But
oh, yeah, I see right here.
I don't know them.
I've got one, but I don't have, like, a photo up or anything.
I'm going to connect with Stu Schartz.
It says on here
he's an accept everybody kind of guy.
What's up, bro?
When it pulls me up, you're right. You're the first one. It says people also viewed Isaac E. Ropp.
I'm number one on there.
You are.
Well, anyway, one of the things about LinkedIn that cracks me up is I think it kind of prays to the voyeur in you. In other words, like, I like to look at what people do and, like, you know.
Wasn't that what Facebook is? Like, stalking exes and.
But LinkedIn, you don't have to deal with comments and stupid stuff. It's everybody's being professional on there.
Okay.
And they just tell you what they do. Oh. And it's like, a lot of them, it's just funny how people will describe, like, their job. Their job titles are so generic. Like, what is contract specialist? What does Stu do?
He specializes in contracts.
And then
like
somebody's like.
We also don't know what the ROP company does, so that would help us.
Corporation, yeah. Yeah. I don't. It's in Simi Valley.
Well, don't you do this? Like, whenever you meet someone.
I don't ask what they do.
You don't ask what they do?
No.
I think
that's a terrible question.
Really?
Yes. Because most of the time they don't want to tell you. Or if they do something that's really boring, they know it's boring and they know you really. You will really tune out like 5 seconds in, and then it's awkward. It's like, I don't really care what you do,
unless
it comes up.
I'm also with that. I don't ask that question. If it comes up in conversation, great, but it's not one of my go-tos.
I never ask.
I always ask.
And I think it annoys people.
And then I have to do the universal pretend.
Right, because you're trying to separate from work when you're out and about, right?
Most people are.
Yeah.
But don't you always have to pretend if someone tells you what they do, you're like, oh, yeah. And then I have no idea what that means.
Right.
Like, I'm a
division leader.
Yeah, yeah. And then you ask some generic question you think makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Divisions. I like divisions. Yeah.
You lead baseball them. Divisions?
I've done division.
Really impressive.
I remember that.
12 divided by 2 is 6.
That little line there.
Marketing facilitator. What? So you're in marketing?
Yeah.
I think there's a very specific type of job area that LinkedIn is really good for. Like my dad's line of work, everything is LinkedIn.
Really?
He's actually been writing LinkedIn articles
like
this last week.
Headhunters. Yeah, see, people write articles on there. I never read them, but
he's in between jobs right now looking for a job, so he's just killing some time by writing articles, which is kind of interesting.
Old man Lynch is looking for work, huh?
Yeah.
Is he considered as Robin Schartz?
I don't think he has. His thing is his companies tend to get bought and then they eliminate his position.
Oh, but he'll, you know.
Yeah, because he fixes failing companies and then.
I didn't know what my dad did for like, till I was probably 17 years old. I had no idea.
Oh.
No clue.
You know what the Rop Corporation is?
What?
Flooring.
Oh,
so he's a general contractor.
Yeah.
He's a flooring guy.
Let's hope he's not like Chris Nix.
See, it would have been better if he just put flooring guy.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh.
You're in, right? Well, it's like when someone asks what you do you say radio or do you say host?
Oh, man. I try so hard to avoid that question. But when it does happen, yeah. I say I'm in radio. Generally, I'm in radio.
Yeah. I also do the same thing. They're like, what do you do? I'm like, radio.
Oh, what does that
mean?
They're
like, engineering. And I'm like,
sure.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I will tell you that. Like,
I'm an engineer.
To your point, when I travel and I know that it's not people that I'm going to interact with, I make stuff up. I make up names. I make up because I don't want to talk about. I don't want an airplane.
Right.
If I'm on a plane,
because that opens a whole thing. Oh, what do you talk about?
Yeah. No.
Do you say you're a sock model?
Oh, I've sold. I've been a regional manager for Kentucky Fried Chicken, biscuits and gravy all over the Southland. Oh yeah. Well, you just kind of run with whatever you want.
I'm a pipe layer.
But the last thing I'm doing is telling people that you work in radio.
That'll go over well with the ladies.
Yeah.
Well, maybe some ladies.
Hashtag. Somebody said saying you're a cop in Portland is awkward.
Oh, I bet.
I bet that is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so they're flooring guys. Schartz Flooring. Schartz and Rop.
Yep.
Good times.
They'll put in some hardwoods for you.
Well.
Especially when Dickman's behind the plate.
That's right.
There goes our second segment of In the News.
Well, we got derailed.
Yeah, it's one of those days.
Look, we had Schartz
when
and Dickman,
someone's name is Owen Schartz, there's no coming back from that.
We knew the moment Lynch said that this show was taking a hard left.
Hey, I want to give you... Wait, hold on. Dang it. So since I talked about LinkedIn, I now have four more bros who want to link.
Yeah.
I've got Marcus. He is director of culinary at Guten Foods.
Okay.
He's a chef. I've got Robert, enterprise business solutions analyst. See what?
Yeah, who?
Is that like enterprise rent-a-car?
No, he's First Tech Federal Credit Union.
Okay.
I've got Lee. Shout out to Lee, president at Odell Engineering.
What's up, Lee?
I've got Kurt, staff accountant at Schnitzer Steel. Nice.
Ooh, Schnitzer.
And
then that's good steel from what I've heard.
Adam is marketing coordinator at Movement Mortgage. Thanks, guys. Let's connect.
Does Schartz work for Movement Mortgage? You should hire him.
Stu Schartz, Movement Mortgage.
You should hire him on the spot.
You want to talk about quality marketing?
Yeah, that's right. Woo!
All right. Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next. Joey Harrington in studio next hour. And we have the Schartz compilation from the Duck Game. All coming up on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.